Hey there. Welcome to the Title Bites, the coolest place for members of the Michigan Land Title Association to receive the latest scoop on what is happening in the title insurance industry. If you think title insurance is boring, you're so wrong. Let's dive headfirst into this episode of Title Bites.
Hey everyone, it's Jackie Brink from First National Title Insurance and your current MLTA president for another 18 days. But who's counting? I would like to first thank my company, First National Title, for sponsoring yet another episode of the Title Bites podcast. Our association is very grateful for your continued support. And yes, it's been a hot minute since the last update and podcast, so I apologize for the delay. Summer is in full force and people are really busy. And I decided to take a break and travel around Italy for a few weeks. So after about 500 Aperol spritz and 20 pounds of pasta and more bottles of vino than I can count, I'm finally back into the podcast groove. Today is June 23rd, and what I found out was apparently it's National Detroit Style Pizza Day. So I'm challenging all of my fellow pizza connoisseurs to make sure you get out and get your favorite slice of Detroit style. But with that being said, what is your favorite Detroit style? Like, who has the best in your opinion? Mine is Louie's in Hazel Park for sure. Like, not only do they have the best pizza, they haven't changed their decor since like 1971 or something. So how can you not love that amazing pizza with that amazing ambiance and nostalgia? So that's my favorite. So I'd love to hear what yours is. So on with the podcast. I had the pleasure of interviewing Debbie Haught from Mount Pleasant Abstract a few weeks ago, and we talked about the Career Pathways Initiative. And before I move on, I want to quickly apologize in advance for some of the poor quality of audio. I did my best to edit, but it's not the greatest sound on Debbie's side. So, Kirchy, if you're listening, please hook Debbie up with some better audio and headphones, for crying out loud, or I'm putting you in charge of the final edits. So it is now my pleasure to introduce everyone to a fellow board member and a friend of mine from Mount Pleasant Abstract, Debbie Haught. Debbie, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you, Jackie. I'm really happy to be here with you and to be part of the podcast.
Wonderful. And we're going to talk about the Career Pathways Initiative. And you and I have been talking about this, which seems like for ages. But we thought it'd be a good idea to get this information out to our members. And we're going to do this probably quarterly. We're going to get Katie Shooter on here sooner or later. She's our chair of this committee here for MLTA. But for now, Debbie and I thought, hey, why not just have a conversation and let the members know what Career Pathways is? So, Debbie, will you take a shot at telling people what it is first?
Yes. So the Career Pathways program is an initiative that we did in partnership with Mid Michigan College, and it's not an associate's degree, as they call it, a credential. And so they have a few of these that they've developed over the years that are specific to certain industries that don't necessarily have college degrees. And so it's an 18 accredited credential. And so it contains a lot of different classes that New Michigan has, but there's a specific course that is being developed, and it's specific to title insurance in Michigan. So there's reasons why we went this direction, which I'm sure we'll get into a little bit more later.
Yeah, that's great. So the history of how we got here, you and I have chatted about this a little bit. For me personally, when I chose to take this on as one of my initiatives as president, we'd been working on this long before then, right? I mean, it's not like it all of a sudden just happened because I became president. This is something that people have been working on for a really long time. Let's say industry veterans, because we're not old, we're industry veterans, right? But eventually we're going to kind of step away from our industry, and we want to see new people come into our industry. And I mean, wouldn't you agree, Debbie, a lot of the people that have been doing this for so long, people are starting to step away, and we need some younger or even newer people, not necessarily have to be young, but newer people into our industry. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. That was a big driver for a number of people working on this initiative for a couple reasons. For one, because our industry is aging. About 7 years ago, I think the average age of somebody in our industry was around 44 or 46.
Mm-hmm.
So we have that we needed to focus on. And two, our industry was shrinking with the people in the business because of the reduction of business in 2008. Some people have gotten out of the industry completely.
Mm-hmm.
So we, as a industry, not just here in Michigan, all recognize that we need to focus on bringing people into the industry. And since it's not a well-known industry, how can we do that? So I think that's a big part of that's a big part of the driver for us.
Yeah, the joke has always been internally that nobody goes to school and says, ooh, I'm going to become a title insurance person. Like, you just don't do that. You either are, you know, you get into it because your family was into it prior, or you stumble upon something and somebody says, hey, I know a title agent needs somebody. And you next thing you know, you're into this. And one of the other things that I think is important to stress is the fact that when we started talking about this, I think Kristen Dankert, who has been on our committee for quite a while now, brought it to light that you don't need a fancy degree to be in our industry, right? Like we know so many people that have never even went to college or just have a associate's degree, or you don't need to be an attorney. I mean, there's so many different things that you could do within our industry and have a successful career. So that was one of the drivers for us to get our message out to the newer people in our industry, or to bring new people in high school, people that may not know what they want to do. I mean, we ask 18 and 19 year old children, they're still children, to choose what they want to do for the rest of their lives. And a lot of them don't know. And so we're just looking to open up that door of opportunity for them. So I think this is a good platform. So Debbie, tell me, I mean, like I said, we've been working on something similar for so long, but you took the reins as chair of the committee a couple of years ago, and I'm forever grateful to you because you really did push this forward. Tell me about how you chose Mid-Michigan College to be brought to us and why that became the chosen college.
Sure. So, and Kristen Dankert did a lot of work on this, on investigating many colleges for our evaluation to see which college would fit us the most best. And so what we were looking for was specifically a two-year college, because we knew this didn't fit well with a four-year college. So a two-year college would be more likely to work with us on this. We were looking for someone that could provide the certificate program fully online, so we could service the entire state of Michigan, no matter where anybody is. I'm based in Michigan. That was important to us as well. And someone who had a lot of the curriculum we needed as part of this package, because it's expensive to develop courses. And we didn't want to go to a college and say, hey, we want you to develop 5 courses, one being the title insurance specific course, but 5 additional courses. So we were looking to try to fit relevant classes into a program that were not specific to title, but relatable to title, such as marketing and computers and business law ethics, think those types of courses.
Sure.
And so we looked at a selection. I believe we had about 10 universities we looked at, and we whittled them down based on those parameters and found that New Michigan College was top of our list. And there was some outreach to New Michigan College through the process, and there was some interest there. So once we were ready to make the selection, we reached out to the dean over there and started the discussions and collaborating over the coursework, what could fit well on the courses that we were looking for. And they really did, I would say, about 90% of what we wanted. to connect with us. And so with that as well, we are building two other courses. One being specific title insurance. We did a lot of research through the committee and the university looking for some course material for that. And we had thought possibly there was some book out there from a real estate law class from about 10 years ago that's no longer effective, but that wasn't available. So we ended up having to start looking at building that class. And Mid Michigan's been amazing to work mm-hmm. with in that regard. Along with that class, we do have an internship program as well as part of it, so that the students going through this course can also be interns in agents that are in their area. Because we mm-hmm. want to connect the students to the agents where they live, so that we can start building the employment potential for all agents across the state of Michigan.
That is really great. And then, so Debbie, you touched on something there. I want to go back a little bit about how this class will be taken. It's not going to be in person, correct? Everything is going to be online?
That's correct. Everything will be online. So and, people can attend the class.
Yeah, so it doesn't necessarily matter that Mid-Michigan Community College is in the middle of Michigan. It's literally an online class that they can take. Yeah. And so you touched a little bit on the internship, and I know this was something that we really bounced around quite a bit, and I think it's important because this course that they'll be taking is just a basic course about our industry, but it's going to be touching on all different pieces of what that looks like, which you mentioned already. And I think it's important for our listeners to understand that the internship piece is part of them getting their certificate, correct?
Yes, absolutely. It is required to be able to obtain your certificate to run through the internship program. And if I remember correctly, it's a requirement of the Michigan College as well in one of their certificate programs that they develop.
Right. Yes, and it's going to be, I think that's important. And we also spoke about them being required to attend our boot camp and maybe our spring summit and things like that, so that they really get a good overview of what this looks like from our industry. And one of the things that I know Amy Zempel talked about this a while back, why she was on the committee, figuring out where they fit in the box. I mean, you and I have talked about this. We may have done one thing in an office at one time, and it may not have been for us. We could have been a closer or an examiner or a marketing person, or they want to move up and go to law school. There's so many different pieces to being part of our industry that doing that internship will give them an actual hands-on visual of what it looks like to be with a title agent, right?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, what benefit for the students to be able to do that? Since we, all of us in this business, if you come into this brand new, like you said, you're just trying to find where your fit is. And as employers, when we're interviewing people, we try to identify that up front. And for the most part, I think that we're all pretty good about doing that. But every once in a while, we find that the fit isn't perfect. But this internship allows the agent now to see how this person works internally in their office, and what fit is good for them. And mm-hmm. plus, when does an individual going to a university have the opportunity, if they're interested in this field, have the opportunity to actually work in the field to say, is this for me or not?
Mm-hmm. So absolutely.
It's a powerful opportunity for both the agent and the student.
I agree. And to touch on that as well, what if a title agent has a newer person that's newer to our industry working for them? Would this be a good platform for them as well?
Absolutely. I'm so glad you brought that up. This coursework is available to anyone, and we really encourage people in our industry to take this course. You can have your employee go through the entire credential, the whole 18 credits, and they can receive their credential, or they can sign up and just take the coursework itself, just the one class. I really feel without the, we as an association do an excellent job on our educational opportunities to our members. But this takes it to another level too. So if you have somebody mm-hmm. brand new coming in, being able to get the 16 week course to be have an oversight of what the entire how it all fits together.
Yes, yes, Debbie, I'm so glad you said that, because how many of us come into this industry and we only know the escrow side, or we only know the title side, or we only know sales? I mean, that right there, what you just said, is really a great goal for us to have, bringing new people into our industry, because I think it opens up good conversation, and then it gives people better understanding and education of what it is we actually do, because, you know, I've said it before, I think I did 10 years before I really understood what our industry does as a whole. I only knew one part of it, you know, so that's a great point, and I'm glad you brought that up. One of the things that we also talked about on the committee is how to get people interested in this course, and I can tell you college campuses might be a way to go, but we also talked about going, what, to high school career days. Yep. There may have been some other opportunities. I think that would be good. So any volunteers that want to help with us with that in the future, please think about that, because that's important to get people going. So Debbie, tell me where we're at on the process, or tell the members where we're at on the process. I mean, I know, but just let everyone know where we're at.
Right, right. Well, and before I said, just to mention one thing to listeners, and with the broad scope of understanding how this industry is through this coursework, I also want to mention that we are bringing in someone from the lending side to do a segment of training, and someone from the realtor side to do some segment of training. It's not just specific to title, but we are bringing experts from other areas so that people can hear from those experts as well.
That's a great point, Debbie. Thank you for covering that.
Yeah.
So where are we at on the process?
So on the process, we have developed the syllabus, which sounds like an easy feat, but it actually was a lot of work, and that the committee did a fabulous job getting that together. It's a concise flow through the process from the beginning to the end of a real estate transaction. And so at this point in time, we've had some amazing people. It's just a sidetrack for a moment. There's a lot of people that I know that are part of this initiative, but there's a lot of the people I know, I didn't know how much that they had an educational side to them.
Right, right. When we started doing interviews with people and just peeling back the onion, you're like, wow, I didn't know that about you. Right. So that was really cool. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah. It's amazing. And so we have a group of people that can edit the content, because we need that desperately, because we're developing all of this mm-hmm. material, or we're taking material from other sources and then bringing it all together.
Sure.
We have a lead on every, you know, so we have 16 leads and we have for each class. So each class has a lead, and they are developing content that can include webinars. It can include videos from maybe American Line Title Association, like a blog or what have you. The sky's really the limit on what we can bring to this platform for each coursework. And so we've determined the leads, we've determined content writers, and they're right now starting process of developing content for all of this.
Mm-hmm.
The challenge is, because we have so many people, incredible people working on this, then we need to make sure that the content is coming from one voice. And so our editors are going to be editing for grammar and content, but also to attempt to have this all sound like it's coming from one voice. So that's where we're in the step in the process right now.
Okay, great. And how does the process work for selecting a professor? Because I don't think people understand that, as when you say one voice. How does the professor be come into play, and how is it chosen?
So that I'm glad you asked that question, because it's a little bit different than what we typically do as an association. We are on the association side and education, where our wonderful education committee identifies the coursework and then contacts people to be speakers of that content. This is in reverse of that in somewhat, because this is a university program, and although we're doing it in partnership with the university, it's really their program. And so they have a number of requirements in selecting in when they bring in a professor. So a big part of that is going through their selection process, answering questions, and it's really hiring. They're hiring the individual. Now, they have a requirement that they have to put out the course to the public. And so even though we're in development with the university on this program and they want to support us and have a professor that works, that is a good representation of the industry, it's feasible that someone that is not a title professional can apply for the position and could teach the position. So what we try to do in collaboration with the university is we outreach to people in our industry to say who wants to look at this as a professor role, so that we could get a good selection of candidates to the university, so that when they put this out there, it wasn't just opened up to the public and we hoped and prayed that someone that had experience would apply. We wanted to outreach and find out who these people were, meet with them, explain what the role is, what does it look like, what's different about it, and explain that although we are working with them and talking with them, it's really the university that they are applying to for the position of the professor.
Right, and they have to have certain credentials as well, correct? It can't just be anyone being the professor. They have certain credentials they need to make, and we don't make those rules. Right. The Michigan Community College does, correct?
That is correct. We are pretty much we are in support of their efforts, but they have certain requirements that they have for every role, and they have certain ways that they go through those requirements. So all we try to do is support what they're looking for and make sure that whoever is teaching this course is the best person for that coursework. And we really wanted to present a slate of people that we found and say, these are people we found and we think they represent the industry well and we think they'd be great professors for.
Right. And we had some phenomenal people apply. I mean, like what you had said earlier, I didn't know some of them even had this background. So it was such a refreshing surprise to learn about those individuals. So every single person that applied were top notch, and any one of them that the community college chooses will be great, and they will be wonderful ambassadors for our program and for the association. So I want to personally thank everyone who applied. And I'd also like to lead into that with the instructors that we're going to have is, like, they're going to be subject matter experts, right, on a specific topic. So there's almost like we have instructors as guest speakers for the professor. So there's other, even if those people that applied may not be the ones that the college chooses, they're still going to be part of the process as far as maybe they're an editor, or maybe they will be an instructor on a specific subject, things like that. Am I right?
Yes, you're absolutely right. That was one thing we wanted to connect with these people about too, because they're also fabulous and phenomenal. Every one of them would be great as a professor. We're just so fortunate to have this experience level and this knowledge base.
We are, yeah.
With everyone, we ask them, if the university doesn't select you, would you still be part of this? Because we really want to have the best of the best helping with this. And then there's the longevity part of it, too, is the professor today, will that be the professor next year or 5 years from now?
Exactly.
People to be part of this so that we continue to provide excellent opportunities for the university to select people for the professor role, if that professor role changes.
That's a great point, Debbie. Absolutely, because we don't know what the future holds, but we want this program to go on in perpetuity, right? We just want it to keep going. So that's a great point. And I'm excited because I'm looking at all of the content and I'm looking at the people going, you know, we probably couldn't have asked for a better group. And there are so many topics that we're going to cover that it was good that we were going to have subject matter experts on these, because we couldn't have one person. It's just almost impossible to have one person know all of the things. It's better as a group. So I'm loving what we're seeing right now. And I know that you're going to agree with this, but right now, Kate Shooter, I mean, good Lord, she has really been just hit the gas pedal on this thing, and she has taken charge and really gotten us to where we're at right now. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. When we were looking at a new chair, we'd be rolling onto the board and then transferring to a liaison. It was, you know, you and I worked a lot on that to try to identify.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
You and I both know Kate. I've known Kate for years, and I've worked with her before, and she's phenomenal. And she expressed interest in being part of an MLTA, starting to help out at committees. And when she had done that, I was thinking immediately at education, because she and I got kept on many education events in the past. And then this opportunity came up. So we reached out to Kate and asked her if she was interested. I don't know if any of us knew what we were getting into, actually, because this is such a big job, but Kate is phenomenal managing projects, seeing things from the target audience perspective, collaborating with people, and keeping things going on track. She's just done an excellent job.
I cannot agree with that more. And one of the things I absolutely love about her and her leadership of this committee has been, she's not afraid to be vulnerable. She will come out and say, hey, I don't know the answer to this. And she will ask for help. And that is just, she's been such a great driver and keeping things on track, but she's also willing to reach out and ask for help. And I just love that. It's just been phenomenal to see everything work with the way it has been going. So great choice. And I hope she's willing to continue to stay on. And Greg, as her co-chair, has been great. He's what a great resource to have for him with his real estate background as an attorney. And it's just been a great group. Everyone that's on this committee, and we've got a bunch of new members too. I just can't thank you all enough. I'm just so, so grateful. So before we wrap this up, Deb, I got to have a little bit of fun with you, of course. I know that I've already used your fun fact as being on the board with one of my updates. And I probably said it wrong. I said you were an acrobatic water skier. What exactly does that mean?
So and that's really close to what we did, what it is. We're a show team, water skiing team. And so it is, for the listeners, you could relate it to like Tommy Bartlett and his cousin Dells, or Sunday's Gardens, or like Orlando, where it really is a play on water. It's an entire production of a play, and then it's added, and then of course we have stunts. So we had jumpers, and we had barefooters, and pyramids, and all these sorts of different types that's on water that would perform to music and a show.
Okay, so you got to tell me, what exactly did you do? What was your role?
Well, it's interesting. When I was approached about this, I knew nothing about it. I actually was on a ski lift in winter, and a guy was sitting next to me, and he starts telling me all about this, and I'm like, yeah, you just going to smoke or whatever, and met a couple more people, like, oh, you did gymnastics? Oh, you did ballet? You should join us. I'm like, what? So I'm like, okay. So I joined, not knowing anything. I couldn't water ski. I didn't know about it. So I went to winter practice and started learning. It's just a lot like gymnastics. For women, there are 6 events, and 5 of them did not require skiing at all. And so I did what's called doubles. I competed quite a bit on that on the national scale. And that's where the guy's on the water, and I'm doing lifts with him, like kind of like a cheerleader. And
yeah.
He's got a rope down his waist. And then there's triples, where there's 2 guys and a girl, and there's a number of other ones, but then the biggest one really is the pyramids. And I was fortunate to be on a team that we competed nationally in the A class, and the highest we did was a 4-high pyramid. We were attempting 5-high movements. People did accomplish that. I was kind of disappointed I wasn't part of that, but that has been accomplished now. But yeah, it was a great time. It was a great experience. And
Oh my gosh. Debbie, I have fallen in the water from a little bit of height. I can't even imagine what that's like, falling from the top of a pyramid and hitting that water. That had to have been so painful. Oh my gosh.
What's painful, that is painful, definitely. What can be really painful if somebody below you accidentally pushes their shoulder forward,
oh,
and then you topple forward and go through all the ropes and it skis as they're skiing past you.
Oh, good Lord. So I guess the title insurance industry is not as dangerous for you. So I can see why you would change professions.
Yeah,
so funny.
Yeah. As you get older, it starts coming a lot more. It's harder to. So I decided to hang up my skis a little bit.
Oh, my gosh. That is such a cool fact about you. And I'm so glad you shared that background, because the first time I heard you say that, I double-taked, because as a former gymnast myself, I thought, no, there's no way. So that is so cool. That is such a great fact, and so I'm glad you shared. Thank you so much, Debbie, and thank you for joining me today on this podcast. I can't wait to see how this thing progresses. We are just going full force, and it's going to be really good for our membership and for our industry as a whole. So thank you again, Debbie.
Yeah, and I would just like to take the opportunity to thank so many people. I won't name them all, but gosh, this initiative has been going on for a long time, as you said, Jackie, and you and Kristen, and there's just a ton of people that have been part of this in the past that are part of it now. It's a big, big undertaking, and I just appreciate so much that as an organization, we are competitors in some aspects, but we still come together as a team to do something like this. And I just think we have phenomenal people across the board on this initiative and part of the association. And I'm just really thrilled that we as an organization can work together to put on such a big endeavor.
Well, I couldn't have said it better, Debbie. That is spot on. So thank you so much again for joining me today, and I look forward to hearing more about this initiative as we go forward.
Thank you, Jackie. Thank you for everything you do, bringing this podcast to everybody's attention, too, so people are aware of where we're at.
Oh, thank you. As many of you know, we are gearing up for this year's summer convention at Mission Point on Mackinac Island. If you haven't already done so, get in and read those emails that Marcy Lay has been sending out. There's a ton of valuable information that you're going to need to know about the convention. And there's some links in there for you to sign up for pack events or putt-putt golf. And they've also, the Public Service Committee, Alex Werfel and his group have put together a really cool project on Monday, July 10th called Paint It Forward. And it's some painting projects that we're going to do around the island. So I'm encouraging as many people as possible to get signed up for that, even if it's just for an hour. Just do your part to pay it forward, or paint it forward, as it's called. We'd really appreciate it. So again, get in there, read those emails. Don't forget to start bidding on the silent auction gifts. And yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing everyone on the island. As always, I'm going to sign off with a little bit of music history, and this kind of worked out perfect as I was doing my research and found this little 80s gem. Earlier, I mentioned Louie's and pizza and nostalgia, and it reminded me that when we used to go visit my Nona, we would always go get pizza at Louie's. But also, as a teenager, I always had my Walkman. Yes, that's a thing for the people that don't know, and always had headphones on, and my Nona hated it. And I'm positive I've gotten my headphones knocked off a few times and had to learn how to duck and weave. So this one's for my fellow 80s teens that also had to learn good reflexes. On this day in 1984, Duran Duran started off a 2-week run at number one on the U.S. singles chart with The Reflex.
Got too far this time.